Shabbat Shalom.
Let us open our Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 5. Today we are going to read the last verses of chapter 5 and verse 22. The Apostle Paul wrote in connection with the submissiveness that we as believers ought to have as husbands and wives to each other in order to help the family unit, the relationship between husbands and wives. And look how the Apostle Paul is presenting what he has to the brothers and sisters of the Ephesians. He says in verse 22, and I'm reading, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." I'm going to stop in verse 33 here for this ministry meeting for today. And if you remember, brothers and sisters, in our previous meeting, we talked about the importance of not being drunk with wine, but being filled with the Spirit of God. In other words, don't be influenced by alcoholic beverage. Don't be influenced with wine, but be influenced by the Spirit of God. Be controlled by the Spirit of God. And if a believer is being controlled by the Spirit of God, obviously there will be changes in his and her lives. We have learned in our previous meeting that there were three results which resulted in a person's life being controlled by Ruach HaKodesh. What was those three results? Number one, joy in verse 19. Number two, giving thanks in verse 20. And number three, submissiveness. It is so beautiful to see a believer that is being controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, which is evident in his life because there is joy, there is thanksgiving, and there is also submissiveness, which is very important. And you remember we read verse 21 in our last ministry meeting, submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God. And from here on, into those verses 22 to verse 33, including chapter 6, verses 1 to 9, the Apostle Paul is really dealing with the importance of submissiveness. Notice that it says in verse 21, submitting yourself one to the other in the fear of God. Giving reverence to God will produce in the life of the believer a desire to be submissive in every area of our walk here with the Lord. And you notice that in this world, There are so many things that will draw us away from being submissive to the Lord, which is a proof when we allow this to happen in our life that we are not being led or controlled and being filled by Ruach Elohim, the Holy Spirit of God. And so now I want to build up from verse 21 on in connection with the relationship as a husband and wife. Now let me say right at the beginning, the Lord had provided for us a marriage relationship, but really, we know that not everyone today has been called to be married. For example, let me just read you a verse in Matthew chapter 19. You will notice what Yeshua said to his disciples. He said in verses 11 and 12, "But he saith unto them," this is Yeshua speaking, "all men cannot receive this saying, save they to whom it is given." And then he said, "For there are some eunuchs which were so born from their mother's womb. And there are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men." And then he said, "And there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it." In other words, you know, the Hebrew word for eunuch is saris, is a person that has no relationship with an opposite sex, you may say, with a wife or a husband. And a person who is a eunuch is a person that is either unable to have physical relationship with the opposite sex as a husband or wife, or he made or she made themselves so much devoted to the Lord that one is said, "I'm committing my life to the Lord." And as it says here in verse 12b, there are some eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. In other words, there are those individuals that are called to be serving the Lord, serving God, even though they are not going to get married, whether it is a man or whether it is a woman. There are those that made themselves for the kingdom of God, eunuchs on behalf of their desire to serve God in this world, and they simply did not get married. So the Lord Yeshua the Messiah is very clear about it, because there are some individuals that were not called to be married. But in general, marriage is an ordinance that God had instituted already long ago in the Garden of Eden. And it is so beautiful to see that when God gave the institution of marriage, He gave it for the benefit of the human race. Marriage is an honorable thing to enjoy and to have in life. God had blessed the human race with the institution of marriage. And it is important to understand that there are various needs that we as human beings have, and that God met those needs by institution of the marriage union. The first thing that I want to mention before we're going to go into these verses, that the first thing that God wanted to meet is the emotional need of men. Marriage really meet the emotional needs of men. Look at that verse in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. We read these words. It says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him." He created Adam from the ground, from the dust of this earth. And God saw that Adam is on his own. He didn't have any helpmeet. So God said, in Hebrew it says, "Lo tov heyot ha'adam levado." It is not good for man to be alone. So what God said, "I will make for him a helpmeet." The wife, the woman that God have created for Adam, was a person that was created to be a helpmeet for Adam, to meet his emotional needs. And by bringing Chava, Eve, to Adam, God sought to meet the emotional need of Adam. And those of us who are married know very well how our wives have been such a helpmeet to us to meet the emotional needs that we have. And therefore, the marriage was instituted by God in the Garden of Eden in order to meet the emotional need that Adam had. And lo and behold, as you know very well, he created Eve, Chava, from the rib that was part of Adam, and he brought this Chava, this woman, unto Adam to meet his emotional need. Beautiful the way God had presented for us the marriage union in the scripture. Secondly, not only that God sought to meet human race need emotionally, but also even the social need. How do we bring children into this world? Well, it is through the marriage union that the social need is being met. And I'm reading again in the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 1, this time in verse 28, where God said to Adam and Eve, and I'm reading this verse, God blessed them. This is Adam and Eve. And God said unto them, Adam and Eve, Adam v'chava, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. The second thing we learn from the Bible, that God have intended not only to meet the emotional need of Adam and Eve, but also to meet the social need. The social need have to do with the multiplication of family, bringing children, be fruitful and multiply and replenish this earth. The society in which you and I live in today is the result of the fact that God have blessed men and women, husband and wife, with the ability to bring children to this world. So their social need is going to be met. And how thankful to the Lord for what He have done for us in providing for us a wife and husband for the purpose of emotional need and social need. And thank God for this in His provision. Thirdly, the reason that God had provided the marriage union is to provide for the physical need. The physical need that we all have as males and females, husbands and wife. And I want to quote a verse that Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verses 3 and 4. And listen to what Paul said. Let the husband render unto his wife the due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto her husband. For the wife has not power over her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband has not power over his own body, but the wife. The third reason that we have the marriage union for, it is really another need that God have met, is the physical need that men and women have. And therefore the marriage union, which the physical relationship between husband and wife, met the physical union of the husbands and the wife. God's concern for the emotional, for the social, and for the physical need of the husbands and wives. And here's fourthly, there's another reason in which that is where we are here today in Ephesians chapter 5. The fourth reason that God gave the marriage union is to meet the spiritual need of the husband and wife. Husband and wife are to enjoy each other not only physically, but also spiritually. You know, it is so sad when many marriages are being broken because the husbands and wives oftentimes fail in enjoying the spiritual need that we all have. And that is exactly what the Apostle Paul is doing here in chapter 5 and verses 22 to 33. He is now dealing with the spiritual needs of the husbands and wife. The emotional, the physical, And the social, we already talked about it, but in these verses, we are going to talk about the spiritual needs of the husband and wife. Now, in the case of this text in Ephesians chapter 5, he is assuming that both the husbands and wives are believers in our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. In other passages, like 1 Peter chapter 3, he is speaking about wives and husbands. There, the husbands or one of the partners are not believers. How to relate to them, we have in 1 Peter chapter 3. But here, beloved brothers and sisters, the apostle present before us a husband and wife, and how are we to treat each other as the husband and wife. So he began, you notice, in verses 22 to 24, he began with the wives. Then verse 25 to verse 33, he continue with admonishing the husbands. And he began with the wives, and listen how important here in this chapter here. It says in verse 22, "Wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as the Messiah is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, unto the Mashiach, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." Now, he began by speaking to the wives first of all. And you notice to the wives, we only have three verses allotted to the wives here. And to the husband, it's a bit longer because there's much more to say, apparently, to the husbands in the context in which we have here in Ephesians chapter 5. But it is very important, brothers and sisters, and I'm speaking now to those of us who are wives here, to realize that submissiveness to the husband, according to verse 22, is really submissiveness to the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah. You see, sometimes we don't realize this, and we think that if I'm going to submit myself unto my husband, because my husband is not always an easy person to submit, because he's not always doing things in the right way and treating me in the right way, therefore I have the liberty not to submit because he's really not doing everything right the way I would like him to do. Nevertheless, the Bible is very clear when he says, "Wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands," and he's adding this last clause where he says, "as unto the Lord." Yeshua is Lord. And Yeshua is the one that is in charge, and he delegates to the body of Christ, to the believers, what he has in mind as the Lord Adon, as we say it in Hebrew, who is the one who is in charge. He is responsible over the affairs of the church. And therefore, the church is to be subjected to the lordship of Yeshua, and therefore the wife, as a type of the church, is to submit to the lordship of Yeshua the Messiah and to the lordship of her husband. Now, you notice he used the word submit, and somebody asked me, "What if my husband asked me to do things that are not right?" Well, we know very well that he does not say submit unto your husband when he asks you to do bad or wrong things. No, but to recognize that the husband is still, according to this verse, he is a picture of the lordship of Yeshua the Messiah. When I subject myself to the Lord or to my husband, I really subject myself to the person of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. You know, when we became believers in Yeshua, we confessed him to be Lord. The Hebrew word Lord means Adon, master. He is the one that he is responsible. He is the one who is in charge. The husband is not doing always the right things, but the husband is nevertheless being placed in a home setting as the one that is in headship, in leadership. And therefore, by submitting to the husband, with submitting to Yeshua the Messiah in his lordship over the church of the Lord Jesus the Messiah. Now, again, I want to say, submissiveness to the husband is not in everything, because many times the husband is not doing the right things, and therefore we have to be really sensitive here, but nevertheless, the wife, according to verse 22, is to submit, to adjust themselves, to recognize who the husband is, and to adjust their mind and their hearts in that setting will allow them to please the Lord in being submissive to the husband. He's continuing here in verse 23, and he's explaining the headship in a home. Now again, he assuming here that he is talking to a believing husband and wife. He says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as the Messiah is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. The husband is the head of that home setting, and therefore he is responsible. In many ways, he's also not only have a privilege of headship, but he has also the responsibility in headship. And therefore, the wife is to recognize the headship of the Lord. Let me give you just a couple of verses in connection with the headship of the husband or the man. Notice in 1 Corinthians, in connection with verse 23, the wife is to understand the headship of her husband. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it says in verse 3, but I would have you know that the head of every man is the Messiah, is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man. Here's again, Paul is saying the head of the woman is the man, the head of Christ is God. And therefore, it's very clear that God positionally have placed the man in headship, in responsibility. Even all of us who are today have these bodies of us, we have that head. And with the head is the thought pattern. From the head we get direction for all the members of the body. Headship is natural. And therefore when God have created Adam first, placed him to be the head over his wife, not in controlling and treating her in a wrong way, but the headship in giving direction and nourishment and help and so on. This is the responsibility that God had given to the headship. And what we're really doing by submitting to our husbands, we are really submitting ourselves to the Lordship of Yeshua, the Messiah. Wife, be subject to your own husbands, even as it is unto the Lord, because the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Now imagine, brothers and sisters, if the church, this is the believers, will start to tell the Lord Jesus what to do. Imagine if we, as the body of Messiah, will give instruction and correction and not being subject to the Lordship of Yeshua. This is exactly the problem that happened with Israel, our people of old. And this is exactly what happened in the present day church age, where we have violated the clear instruction of the Lord, and instead of submitting ourselves to Yeshua, we end up doing our own thing and end up at the end losing out with the enjoyment of the relationship with Christ, with the Messiah. Israel, you remember what God said, we just read today in Hosea chapter 3 and in Jeremiah chapter 31. God had this relationship with the nation of Israel, but Israel, the nation, needed to submit to their husband, to Jehovah, just the same like we, the church, ought to submit to the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah. And the marriage union is merely a picture of Christ, the Messiah, and the church. So the husband is the head, is not the dictator. He's not called to be a dictator. He's called to be the head that give direction and nourishment and assistance in the governing of the home and the family. And the wife is to recognize that and to allow him by submitting to his authority, to his headship. Now, what if the husband is not doing so? What if the husband is not always doing the right thing? Does that give justification for the wife not to submit because the husband is not always the way he should be? You never find this in the Bible that it says, wife, be subject to your husband only when he does everything right. You don't have this in the Bible. But what we do have in the Bible that the wife is to subject herself to the husband as subjecting unto the Lord, praying for him, assisting him, seeking to see him, doing the right thing in leading her in the right way, because the wife is a picture of the church who is to be submissive to the Lord Yeshua the Messiah. Notice how he's saying in verse 24, the wife is a picture of the church in submissiveness. It says in verse 24, therefore, as the church is to be subject to Christ, to the Messiah, so let the wives be to their own husband. And he added the word again, in everything. Again, I mentioned, there are certain things that one cannot subject to the husband when the husband said to do something wrong. But if the husband doesn't make always the best decision, it doesn't give a wife the right not to subject herself unto her own husband. And submitting here, it's simply adjusting the wife's heart and mind to the leadership of the husband. Now, let me just read a couple more verses in connection with this. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 18. He's writing to the brethren there and he says, wives, submit yourself to your own husband. And then he continues and he says, as it is fit in the Lord. It is fit, it is meet, it is suitable, it is the right thing to do in the Lord is when the wives are being submissive to her husband. This is so beautiful to see, because when the wife is submissive to her husband, is a picture of the church being submissive to our blessed Lord Yeshua the Messiah. Here's one more verse, brothers and sisters. 1 Peter, just turn there to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1 as well. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, in other words, if your husband is not a believer and you obey not the word, you or they also may without the word be won by the behavior, by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your pure modesty, coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it be not of the outward, but the inward, you know, and so on. Let it be the inner man, verse, for you might be able to win your husband to do the right thing. First of all, to accept the Messiah. Secondly, to do the right thing in following God and being obeying the Lord. So, brothers and sisters, when the Lord is speaking, when Paul is speaking to the wife to be subject to their own husbands, he's saying it because it is fit in the Lord. It is the ways that God expects this from the wives. And that, of course, does not give the right of a husband to abuse his leadership, his headship. He is responsible to respond to his wife and to be a head that is leading the home, leading his wife in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. And so, verse 22, 23, and 24, wives, submit yourself unto your own husband because it is in the Lord, because it is the right thing, and you are able to win your husband, that he will go in a way that it is pleasing to the Lord. And what happens when there is no submissiveness on the part of the wife in that relationship? Oftentimes, it produces a wedge in the relationship. Oftentimes, it produces a broken-up relationship between husband and wife. And how sad to see that today, even today, in most marriages, Christian, believers' marriages, they say that the amount of the divorces in marriages among believers, it's almost equal to the amount of divorces among unbelievers today. And it is all because we just do not take our place before the Lord in a way that we ought to do so. And therefore, there is an encouragement for the wives to be subject to their own husbands as unto our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. Well, it is very easy to read this passage and leave it like that. And the Apostle Paul doesn't stop with this. Because immediately in the next verses, verses 25 to 33, he is now speaking to the husbands. So we cannot just speak to the wives and leave that without to also get this, that which applied to those of us who are husbands, just the same like he spoke to the Ephesians. Well, look at what the Lord, through Paul, is saying now to the husbands. And now in verse 25 to verse 23, he is now commending the husbands to be responsible in what he called them to do. And so he began. In verse 25, he says, husbands, love your wives, even as the Messiah also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. And then he said, or any such thing, but that it should be a holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own body. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Now you see, now he just finished to speak to the wives. And if we are not careful, we can say, well, here's Paul, he's so much against the wife. Be subject, be subject, be subject, be subject to your own husband. Well, if we stop right here and we don't see the responsibility of the husband, we can get hardened and not realize that he's not only speaking to the wives and the women, the responsibility, but now he's speaking to the husband, because the husband also have a responsibility in the relationship, in a marriage union. And so he says, husband, love your wives. The Greek word for love is the word agapeo. And the word agapeo in Greek simply means unconditional love towards the wife. And as I mentioned before, the wife is to submit to her husband even though he is not always doing the right thing. The husband is to love their wives even though they are not always submissive to the husband. In other words, he doesn't say to us as men and to the brothers in the local assembly at Ephesus, he says, listen, brothers, listen, husbands, you love your wives only when they are submissive. Otherwise, you don't love them. No, he's saying to them, husband, love your wives unconditionally in the same way that the Messiah have loved the assembly, the church. And how did he love the assembly, the church? It was a sacrificial love by giving himself for the church, for the assembly. In other words, the husband is responsible to love his wife to the extent that he will do everything in order to elevate his wife, to build his wife up, to be a blessing to his wife. Because if they are going to have this spiritual need met, the husband is responsible to love his wife unconditionally. This is very precious to realize, and he makes the comparison again. You remember in the previous verses he says the church is to be submissive to the lordship of Yeshua. Now he says vice versa. The Lord loved his assembly so much that he gave himself for it. Think about this, brothers and sisters, how the Lord Yeshua the Messiah have done so much in order to purchase an assembly, a bride for himself. He was willing to come down from heaven to become a man of sorrows, which had been acquainted with grief, in order that he will lift up this precious, the pearl that he loves so much, to the church, the ecclesia, to get a bride, a wife for himself. Well, can you imagine how terrible it is for us if we don't love our wives and don't treat them in some small measure that the Lord Jesus have loved us, some small measure to picture the love of the Messiah for his body, for the church. Imagine how terrible it looks like when we do not act in such a way. Now, of course, we know we fail oftentimes in this, but nevertheless, the exhortation is, husband, love your wives and sacrificially, even as the Messiah love the church, the assembly, and he was willing to give his life for her. It was a sacrificial love that Yeshua have done in order to bring us to become part of the family of God. You know, some verses came to my mind from biblical history. You remember the story of Yaakov. You know, Yaakov have left his father's house, went to Mesopotamia, and there he arrived to the family of Laban. And you remember there when he arrived to the family of Laban in Genesis chapter 29. Just turn there for a second. We can see a real love for a wife that he wanted so much to be his own. Jacob in Genesis chapter 29 in verse 18. Jacob loved Rachel. Yaakov ahav et Rachel. He loved Rachel. And he said, I will serve thee, he was speaking to Laban, to her father, for 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter. So Laban said, you know, it is better for me that I will give her to you, to thee, than that I should give her to another man. He said, abide with me. So Jacob, listen, sacrificially, Jacob served for 7 years, verse 20, for Rachel. Now, how many years you have worked to gain your wife? Can you imagine 7 years to labor and labor and labor just to get this wife that he loves so much? Well, you know what happened. It says Jacob served for 7 years and they seem, look at this, brothers and sisters, they seem unto him as a few days for the love that he had for her. You remember when we first met our future wives-to-be, we loved them so much, and the days passed so quick, and we wanted so much to be with them, and to serve them, and to minister to them, whatever the Lord would give us, because we loved them so much. Jacob, 7 years of working so hard to gain Rachel, seemed to be to him, according to verse 20, they seemed to be to him as only a few days. Well, you know what happened in the story there, that when the time came for the marriage union to consummate, well, he get up in the morning and lo and behold, he found out that it was not Rachel with him. It was Leah. So you might say, I'm just giving up, I'm tired, I'm not going to carry on. You know, but Jacob loved Rachel so much that again, look at the text in Genesis 29 now, verse 26. Laban said unto him, it must not be so in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. And then he says, fulfill her week, her 7 years, and we will give thee this also for the service which thou wilt serve with me. And he says, serve me 7 other years. So Jacob did so. And he fulfilled her week, in other words, her 7 years, and he gave to him Rachel, his daughter, to be his wife. Now we find out that Jacob ended up to work for 14 years just to get this wife by the name of Rachel. Now what is the lesson? Brothers and sisters, the lesson is true love is sacrificial. It costs. And if we are to be that picture of the love of Yeshua the Messiah for us, for the body of Christ, we are in a small measure, and I'm using the word small measure because we fail as men often to appropriately love our wives sacrificially. But nevertheless, he does say, husbands, verse 25, love your wives even as the Messiah loved the church, the assembly, and gave himself for the church, for the assembly. And this is very important for us as men to realize, as husbands to realize, the importance of loving our wives unconditionally. Even at time, it's not easy when there is not necessarily submissiveness and not necessarily the perfection that we expect from those that belong to us. Nevertheless, there is a command by the Lord for the husband is to love their own wife even as the Lord Yeshua loved his bride, his church. In the same manner, I just want to say that when we read Hosea chapter 3 and God said to Hosea, go love a wife, and he was speaking about the unfaithful wife of Hosea, that you've gone astray from him. And God said to Hosea, you go and love her just the same like I love the people of Israel. The love of God towards the people of Israel. Unconditional. A love that is not limited by anything. That is the kind of love that God loved us, that God loved Israel, and the Lord loved the church, and he was willing to give himself for the assembly. By the way, in the Bible, we have four times that we have about the love of God. For example, John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave himself for the world. Jeremiah chapter 31, God says that I have loved you, namely Israel, with an unconditional, unlimited love. You know, with an everlasting love. Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 2 and 3. Here we see the love of the Messiah for the assembly. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And in Galatians 2 and verse 20, Paul said, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So we have God love for the world, God love for Israel, Messiah love for the church, Messiah love for individuals like you and I. It is found in Scripture, the sacrificial love that God have proven in loving his own people. So verse 25, he gave himself in the past. Verse 26, look at verse 26 now. He's dealing with the presence. How do Christ, the Messiah, love now his wife, presently his bride, and you and I as husbands are to do so towards our wives, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word. You see what happened? The purpose of the husband in loving his wife is to wash her and cleanse her. You might say to set her apart, to have her in such a way that she is so refreshed and so encouraged. You know, it is terrible when we don't treat our wives in a right way, when we put them down and we treat them in a way that is not pleasing to the Lord. How can she be refreshed and encouraged? How can she feel the sense of fulfillment spiritually when there is that treatment that is not correct? And look what the Lord is saying through the Apostle Paul. What he does presently, he says that he might set her apart and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word. You know, the word of God has an element of cleansing us spiritually. And so when the husband is treating his wife in a right way, it refreshes her. It gives her a sense of being important, in a sense that she is a helpmeet to her husband. But if he puts her always down and treats her in an unkind way, well, the wife is not being refreshed and spiritually encouraged. And that's why Paul is clear. He says the husband ought to know how to treat their wife, to set them apart. Sanctifying love, enriching the purpose of the wife in how they live their life, building them up. It is godly treatment that is very important in our relationship with our wives. And Paul is very clear about it. Imagine how the Lord set us apart as the bride, as the wife. He ministered to us through his word. He encourages us. He builds us up so we can be a good testimony for him here in this world. Imagine if he will put us down all the time and will not love us and not treat us in the right way. We will not be able to be lifted up and be used by him. This is important to see that. So in the past, he gave himself for us. In the present, he set us apart, sanctify, cleanse us with the washing of the water by the word of God. And through the scripture, we can treat our wife in such a way that we can refresh them and be a blessing to them. And it is unfortunate that we are not always doing so as husbands. Nevertheless, the exhortation is given to us here in verse 26. Now here's the future in verse 27. You see, you remember what we say, that when God instituted the marriage union, it was to meet emotional need, social need, physical need, and spiritual need. Well, here is the spiritual need. The spiritual need is being met by the way that we treat each other, the submissiveness of the wife, the love of the husband, build each other up spiritually. And boy, to see a good relationship between husband and wife, what a beautiful picture it is, a type of Christ and the church. So look at the future, verse 27. In order that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So you see now, Paul is saying that Yeshua is now wanting one day to present unto himself a glorious church, a glorious wife, a glorious bride, not having spot nor wrinkle or any such thing. Now think with me about these two expressions, the spot and the wrinkle. You know, physically speaking, wherever we have wrinkles, it comes from within, right? Wherever we have spots here and there on our body, that comes from without. It shows us that there is imperfection here in this world. You know, the church is not without spots or without wrinkles. Just the same like as we get older, husbands or wives. We are not remaining all the time the way we used to be when we were 18, right? And therefore, it really looks to the future. When we build our wives and being a blessing to them and love them sacrificially, what really happened, it's actually provide spiritual health in the life of the marriage. And it's such a blessing because wrinkles and spots represent frictions and divisions and separations and all that which cause problem within the marriage. But the moment that we are treating each other, the husband loves his wife sacrificially, the wife submit to her husband as unto the Lord, then those wrinkles and spots because of sin that exists in our life will be removed aside, and we can have an enjoyable relationship as a husband and wife, this time not necessarily emotionally, not necessarily socially, not necessarily physically, but spiritually. A healthy spiritual marriage. What a beautiful thing it is to see when a husband and wife treating each other in a right way. Submissiveness on the part of the wife, love on the part of the husband, which produce that healthy spiritual relationship in the marriage union, which ultimately is representing the marriage that we have, the relationship that we have with our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. Look at some other verses that I want to connect. Look at the Song of Solomon. Turn to the book of Song of Solomon. In Hebrew we call it Shir HaShirim, Song of Songs, the Song of Solomon, chapter 4. Just to make an illustration here, you know, the Tanakh, the Old Testament, the Hebrew scripture, all the illustrations there illustrate spiritual relationship that you and I even have today. All what was written aforetime was written for our learning, that we today will learn from these relationship. Look at this. In Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 1 to 7, here is the bridegroom speaking to his bride. He says, "Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove eyes within thy locks. Thy hair is as flock of goats that appears from Mount Gilead. Thy teeth are like a flock of sheep that are even shorn, which came up from the washing. Wherefore every one bear twains, and none is barren among them. Thy lips are like a thread of scarlet, and thy teeth is comely. Thy temples are like a piece of the pomegranate within thy locks. Thy neck is like a tower of David, building for an armory, whereon there hang 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men. Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins, which feed among the lilies. Until the day break and the shadows flee away, I will get me the mountains of mirth and to the hill of frankincense. And then he ends it with verse 7. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. Here's the bridegroom looking at his bride, and he describes many members of her body. And as far as he is concerned, thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. And so we read in Ephesians chapter 5, where we just read right now in verse 27, that he might present to himself a glorious church, having no spots or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And so the husband is to love his wife to the extent that he will sacrificially serve and minister to her and be a blessing to her, in order that he will have an enjoyable spiritual life together with his wife, as the Lord intends to have in the future day, that the church will have no spot and no wrinkle or any such thing, but that he should be holy and without blemish. Now, have we always were successful in loving our wives in such a way? The honest truth is no. Have the wife always have been successful in being submissive to her husband as unto the Lord? The honest answer is no. But the call is to do so in the relationship of marriage. And now in conclusion, the last verses, verses 28 to 33, we have the conclusion to what Paul was saying to the husband and wife. Beginning with verse 28, where he says that the husband and the wife are really one. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loves actually himself. Because the marriage union brought these two people to become one. And whenever one is taking care of his wife, he's really taking care of himself. He that loveth his wife really loves himself, he says. Just the same like we have in Genesis chapter 2. He continues and he says in verse 29, he says, for no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord cherishes the church, the assembly. We always take care of ourselves, right? We make sure that when we look at the mirror, we get dressed well, we put our ties straight, we make sure that we are combed correctly, that our face are being washed, that our teeth are being taken care of. We never hate ourselves, we take care of ourselves. And oftentimes, I'm sorry to say, we as husbands don't realize that when we take care of our wives, we're really taking care of ourselves. We don't hate us. We love ourselves. We are so selfish to say that is that we take care of ourselves. Well, it is expressed by taking care of our wives. We're really taking care of ourselves. No man yet hated his own flesh. He nourishes his flesh. He cherishes his flesh. Even so, the Lord himself taking care of the church. So we are to love our wives, because when we love our wives, we are actually taking care of our very own self. That is really the wisdom that the apostle gives us here in verse 29. And notice he says now in verse 30, for we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. When Adam was created and then he was put to sleep, and out of the rib of his side a woman was made, Eve was made. And then we find out that really this is a bone that belonged to him. That's why he says, this is now bone of my bones in Genesis chapter 2. Flesh of my flesh, she shall be called Isha, a woman. She came out of the Ish, out of the men. She's really mine. That's what he's saying. For this cause, as it says in verse 30, and now he's quoting Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall join unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. The Hebrew word for join is the Hebrew word for glue. Davak, devik. So, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and glue be glued unto his own wife, and the two shall be one flesh. Really, in a marriage union, when we love our wives, we're really taking care of ourselves. If we only realize that, what a lesson for us to learn in these verses that Paul is teaching. So, husband and wife have been joined together, and the two become one flesh. Therefore, let a man leave his father and mother and join and be glued unto his own wife, and the two shall be one flesh. And now he concludes by saying, you know, brothers and sisters of the Ephesians, this is a great mystery. The relationship between a husband and wife, the marriage union, is really a great mystery. And it says, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. In other words, the marriage union is really a picture of the assembly, the church, and the head, the Messiah, who is in heaven. And every time we see a healthy relationship between husband and wife, every time we see a good relationship between a husband and wife, it is really meeting the spiritual need of the husband and wife, and that's really a blessing, a testimony of the truth that the husband and wife are a picture of the marriage that existing between the Lord from heaven and the church, the assembly of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. This is a great mystery. Imagine, already from the Garden of Eden, when God brought Eve to Adam, he was really teaching a lesson. He says, listen, this is the relationship that I will have with my people. Whether it is with Israel as the wife of Jehovah, or whether it is with the church as the bride of Christ, the bride of the Messiah. These are the relationship that God had shown by instituting the marriage union, husband and wife. Nevertheless, he closing that chapter in verse 33, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Now what do we do, just in closing, when there are issues that rise up in marriage union? There are issues that rise up. They are so sad today. There are so many broken relationships, broken marriages. How to handle it? What to do? Well, I believe and I understand from this text. That's why he says in particular, nevertheless, let every one of you, don't look to the right, don't look to the left, don't look for human opinion. What he's really concluding is that every one of you in particular make a decision to do the right thing. Don't look at the majority rule. Don't look at the opinion of the human race. Don't look at the opinion of anybody else. But you, yourself in particular, I myself, he's speaking to the brothers and sisters in the city of Ephesus. Let every one of you in particular, husband, you love your wife. Even as you love yourself, you make sure that you love your wife sacrificially. And then wife, you make sure that you honor, you respect your husband. Because by doing so, you're really submissive to the Lordship of Yeshua in your life. And that's how we can have, brothers and sisters, the enjoyment, the need to be met, the spiritual need in our relationship between husband and wife, the spiritual need that God have intended for us to have when he instituted in the Garden of Eden the marriage union. Can you imagine what went on in the city of Ephesus? There was so much immorality. There was so much idol worship. The marriage union was not at all held And it is only through the scripture, through the word of God, that the marriage union has been brought into and been elevated into a right relationship, in a right, healthy situation. Well, imagine Paul is saying to the brothers and sisters in a pagan city, you be different. You have a change in your life. You behave in such a way that it will honor the Lord Yeshua the Messiah and will bring you spiritual blessing among yourself, because you are a picture of the relationship that Yeshua Jesus have towards his own people, the church, the ecclesia. And so verses 22 to verse 33 present before us the importance of submissiveness to the Lord, submissiveness to each other, specifically in the relationship of the marriage union. May the Lord help us today, because we fail so much in this, and we have to confess it before the Lord. May the Lord help us to have restored marriages, strong marriages, and that spiritually we will enjoy the things of the Lord together as husband and wife.